Rangers are martial survivalists. They're tough, but with adaptable features and a touch of spellcasting, they're able to withstand just about anything that the wilderness can throw at them. Paladins are holy champions, scions of celestial power, and keepers of divine oaths. You put them together and we get God's Left Hand, a hunter of the unholy able to track evil to their dark pits and administer righteous retribution. If you've never thought of combining these classes, I can't exactly say that I blame you, but in this video we're going to talk about doing just that. So, stick around. Both Paladin and Ranger are primarily martial characters with ways to pile damage on top of a normal attack, and conveniently, that damage can all mix nicely together for the same attacks. Paladins give us access to powerful defensive capabilities, while Ranger gives us access to some powerful offensive and utility abilities, combining into a tough DPS and yet still skill utility character. Both are martial classes that can excel in melee combat with stackable damage source options that can combine into a tanky high damage output frontliner, though maybe not quite as good as Baldur's Gate would have you believe, which is a good segue into the downsides. The biggest problem with this particular combination is how thinly spread we have to get on ability scores. A multi-class paladin requires at least 13 points in both strength and charisma, while Ranger requires at least 13 points in both dexterity and wisdom. This automatically means we're going to have to accept lower ability score bonuses on our primary abilities to pay for all those prerequisites. The Ranger class wasn't reworked so many times because it was too good, after all. Rangers suffered from a situational nature of their core features, and while the revisions have largely fixed that, it's hard to say what the Ranger does better than other classes. We can achieve an effective multi-class with the Paladin, but taking any Ranger levels is a debatable choice at the start. For pure damage, you might be better off going with the Fighter for the Action Surge or Rogue for the Sneak Attack. We can achieve an effective multi-class with the Paladin, but taking any Ranger levels is a debatable choice at the start. For pure damage, you might be better off going with Fighter for the Action Surge or Rogue for the Sneak Attack. Or, pairing specifically with Paladin, going for an Eldritch Knight with Warlock levels may be a better option for the Eldritch Blast and Smite-fueling Warlock spell slots. And of course, as with all multi-class options, multi-classing means that you forego some late-game features and are slower to acquire others. A single-class character has more focused, powerful features, while multi-class characters will have more versatility and more options. You might be curious as to when this Paladin-Ranger multi-class will kick in, and we have some later synergies we want to take advantage of, but at the core, we just want to be stacking Favored Foe and Hunter's Mark from Ranger and Divine Smite from Paladin. We get those features from a single level of Ranger and Smite from our second level Paladin, so the build kicks in around third total character level. Now let's get into class features, and while not every class feature is going to play a huge role in our builds, you should be aware of the following class features and combat abilities while putting your Ranger Paladin together, especially if you want to kind of remix anything we'll be talking about here today. Starting with Ranger features, we have Deft Explorer. This is one of the new optional features that replace Natural Explorer, and it's all the better for it. Deft Explorer now grants double proficiency bonus on a chosen skill, a couple extra languages, and with 5 Ranger levels, it also grants us a fast walking, climbing, and swimming speed. And then we have Favored Foe. It uses Concentration, which means we can't stack it with Hunter's Mark. Sad, I know. But it's still basically a free additional damage that will scale up with our Ranger levels. It also doesn't take any action, you can just choose to apply it when you hit with an attack, making it even more free. And then we have fighting styles. Just like a fighter, the Ranger gains access to a fighting style that will be integral to some of our builds. We'll in fact be getting a similar feature from Paladin, meaning we'll get to enjoy an additional fighting style here, which lore-wise and mechanic-wise, I just kind of think that's cool for any character. And then we have Hunter's Mark, which might be a little bit weird since we get Favored Foe already, which is almost like a free, downsized version of this unique Ranger spell, but the original Hunter's Mark still matters. Hunter's Mark is a Ranger-exclusive spell that stacks an extra d6 damage for every hit we make for the rest of a combat, for the low cost of a first-level spell slot and a bonus action. And then at 5th level, we gain extra attack, which of course gives us an additional attack, but this is especially useful as a Ranger since Favored Foe triggers off each one of our attacks. We can't do multiple Divine Smites in the same turn, but more weapon damage is always a good thing. Keep in mind, though, this will not stack with the Paladin's identical ability, though. And then at 3rd level, Rangers gain archetype features, which will be useful to us, and we will talk about them a bit later on, but just know that we will be caring about these for the Ranger archetypes. Now moving on to significant Paladin features, we have Lay on Hands. Paladins get a pool of healing equal to 5 times their paladin level. While multiclassing will shrink your Lay on Hands ability comparatively, it's always helpful to have healing on hand, especially if we want to fill a support role. And then we have spellcasting, and in all honesty, we plan on pouring our spell slots into smites rather than actually using them for casting, but it's always helpful to have the options should the need arise. And then at second level, we gain Divine Smite, and this is the big ticket item that you're picking a paladin for over any other martial class. Divine Smite lets you sacrifice your spell slots for pure extra damage when you hit things with a melee weapon attack. It doesn't even use an action or a bonus action, and we're free to just use and stack this damage whenever we so choose. Each first level spell slot turns into 2d8 damage, with an extra 1d8 damage for each spell slot above the first, up to a maximum of 5d8 smite damage, or 6d8 smite damage if the target is undead or a fiend. And then also gained at second level, we have Fighting Style, and this goes a long way towards buffing up your martial ability. We've got some solid options. Defense gives us a flat +1 AC bonus, which is a lot more impactful than you might think. Dueling is the option to take if we want to go with a one-handed weapon and a shield for +2 damage per swing, and Great Weapon Fighting lets you reroll damage rolls of 1 or 2 for big two-handed weapons. And then once again, at 5th level, we've got extra attack, but as I mentioned, this one doesn't stack with the other, so... Whoops. And then at 6th level, you gain the feature of Aura of Protection, and this is one of the strongest defensive buffs in the entire game. You and every friendly creature within 10 feet of you gain a bonus to all saving throws equal to your charisma modifier. By sticking together, you can wildly improve your party's saving throw and survival rate. 6th level is a lot to ask, though, and you'll likely only hit this if dipping into Ranger. And then we have Sacred Oath. You gain your first Sacred Oath feature at 3rd level, and the Oath's Aura ability doesn't kick in until 7th. Depending on what build you go for, these archetype features may or may not be worth it, but we'll get into more of that later. And when it comes to which class you should pick first, starting with a class level in Paladin versus levels in Ranger has very similar proficiencies with a few notable exceptions. When you start with Ranger, you miss out on heavy armor proficiency, your saving throws are strength and dexterity, and the starting with Paladin thing is that you get heavy armor proficiency and you can start with chainmail, and your saving throws are wisdom and charisma. If you're using medium armor anyway, then this is really just a choice between two roughly equal save proficiency options. If, however, you plan on using heavy armor, then you should absolutely start out as a paladin first. Now let's talk ability scores, because we probably should. One of the biggest hurdles for this build is walking the ability distribution tightrope on 4 different ability scores. Firstly, I highly recommend selecting human as your race, the normal version, not the variant, because getting +1 to every ability score is actually like a +4, +5 counting constitution, for our build. By taking human and using a point buy to get our scores just right, we can get everything that we need. At our core, we're trying to be a DPS character, and strength should be our highest ability score at 16. Next, we need to have at least 13 dexterity to meet the ranger requirements, but should go ahead and push that one higher to 14 dexterity to take advantage of medium armors over heavy armors. Thankfully, we really only need to meet the minimum requirements of both wisdom and charisma, since we aren't actually going to be doing much spellcasting. We still have just enough points to push through wisdom and charisma to 14, which is worthwhile since we already have to push them to 13 anyway. That leaves us with just enough points to get a constitution bonus with 12 constitution. Finally, we just have the human's base +1 to intelligence, leaving it as our only real dump stat, and we're not coming out too shabby with that on the other end. As you advance in levels, I recommend spending your ability score improvement on strength. Despite all of our multiclassing, strength will be our primary damage stat, after all. Now let's talk spellcasting. When you have a multiclass combination of two different spellcasting classes, things can get a little weird, as you've just created a multiclass spellcaster. Your spells known stay completely separate, so if you have 3 levels of paladin and 5 levels of ranger, you'll know the same number of paladin spells as a 3rd level paladin, and the same number of ranger spells as a 5th level ranger. The spell slots, however, combine into a special multi-class spell slots table, which basically counts half caster levels as a half level and full caster levels as 1 level. For our build, both rangers and paladins count as half casters, so on the table on screen, you'll count half of your total levels rounded down to determine how many spell slots you have. And now let's talk ranger equipment. Assuming we're going to take the route with 14 dexterity, our best bet is to utilize medium armor. Ideally, we want half plate, but at 750 gold pieces, it can be a bit pricey early on, and you may need to rely on scale mail for a level or two. Next, for Divine Smite to function, we have to use melee weapon attacks. And while we could go for a big two-handed weapon or two-weapon fighting, I'd recommend sword and board to maximize our AC. This means putting a shield in one hand and any of the other 1d8 damage one-handed martial weapons, such as a battle axe, flail, longsword, morningstar, warpick, or warhammer, on the other. And lances are also on the table for a couple of our builds, so don't leave those behind. Now let's get into our paladin ranger multiclass builds, our Ranger Lin. We try to combine the words sometimes. I don't think I'm going to find anything here. There's no one correct way to play this multiclass or really any multiclass choice, but I do hope you find the following build ideas at least a little interesting. First, we have the Dragon Knight, and the goal here is simple. Be a knight and ride your own personal dragon friend into battle with a lance. Sadly, we can't do this early, and to set this up, we'll need 2 levels of paladin and 7 levels of ranger, making sure to take the Drake Warden archetype. For our 2 fighting styles, we want to go with dueling and defense. With defense, plus 2 dexterity, half plate, and a shield, we'll be sitting at a pretty 20 AC. At our 3rd ranger level, the Drake Warden gets a Drake Companion. He starts out small, but once we get to 7 ranger levels, his size improves to medium, and we're specifically allowed to ride him as a mount. But sadly, he can't use his flying speed while doing so. Now, theoretically, this process should be simple. You acquire a mount, you ride the mount. Well, sort of. It works like that in this case. Thanks to some very awkward action sequencing, we have to be very particular in how we do things. In order for our dragon to use their attacks while we ride them, we have to get into the subtly strange rules that 5e has for mounts. Mounts can either be controlled mounts, which are very simple to use but can't do a whole lot, and independent mounts, which can do more but take a bit more work to use correctly. For our purposes, we need to treat our dragon as an independent mount, which will allow it to still make use of all of the cool abilities, but we have to be very particular in how our turns are sequenced. The main problem is that our dragon takes their turn immediately after ours, which means we're stuck like a bump on a log until they take their turn and carry us along with them. The second problem comes from the lance. Lances impose disadvantage on attacks that are within 5 feet and expect you to strike while you are 10 feet away. This means we want to attack after the dragon moves, but before they finish moving and make their own attacks. The correct sequences should look like this. On our turn, we hold our attack action for when the target is within range. The dragon takes their turn moving towards the enemy, and once in range, our attack action is triggered. And we make 2 lance attacks using a Divine Smite and Favored Foe. The dragon then uses their Infused Strikes reaction to stack another 1d6 damage onto one of our lance attacks. And then the dragon finishes moving another 5 feet, finally, and makes their own bite attack. That was all a little bit more complicated than it really should be, but rules as written, that's the way you need to go. If you go through this correctly, using a 2nd level smite, you get to charge in for an average of 51 damage. That's 2d12, plus 1d6, plus 3d8, plus 2d6, plus 4, plus 8, plus 2 per turn. And for all of you DMs out there, maybe consider making this whole attack process for them a little bit easier. There's nothing more of a buzzkill than getting on a dragon and wanting to do something cool, and then in come rules that don't really do anything for anybody. Like, don't get me wrong, I love the concept of independent mounts versus controlled mounts. I do that kind of thing all the time, but this sort of attack sequencing is where I think D&D use your own judgment, DMs, is all I'm saying. And then we have Knight of the Spike Trap. The goal of this build is to use the spell Spike Growth and then slam your opponents into it over and over as they die into 1,000 spike cuts. Good lord. Note that for this one, we need to make use of one of Critical Role's archetypes, so this isn't technically base 5e. However, we jump out of that territory all the time on this show. We also need to get up to 8th level to do what we really want to do with this. To accomplish this goal, we need 3 levels of Paladin selecting the Oath of the Open Sea and at least 5 levels in Ranger selecting the Swarmkeeper archetype. For our 2 fighting styles, we once again want to take dueling and defense using a shield, and any of the D8 martial one-handed weapons will still let us deal decent damage while rocking an armor class of 20. Unlike the other builds, I recommend spending at least 1 of your ACIs on increasing your wisdom, since we're relying heavily on a ranger spell and ability that uses the ranger spell save DC. At the beginning of combat, we want to cast the spell Spike Growth and try to catch as many of the enemies in it as possible. It covers a surprisingly large 20-foot radius with difficult terrain, and for every 5 feet a creature travels in it, they take 2d4 damage. 2d4 may not sound like a lot, but we're going to stack that up on top of all sorts of other things and methods. Firstly, as a swarm keeper, we get a swarm of nature spirits, which should be flavored however you like. I like to go with bees because bees are my family animal. And that lets us apply an effect to an attack once per turn. One of those abilities forces a strength save, and on a failed save, you can move them up to 15 feet, which can conveniently be right back through that spike growth patch for a total of 6d4 damage. Next, thanks to the Oath of the Open Sea, we get the Channel Divinity option Fury of the Tides that we can activate for a minute using a bonus action. While it's active, once per turn, when we hit with a melee attack, we can push the target up to 10 feet away from you without a save of any kind. And if that's into our spike growth, that's another 4d4 damage. Because the Swarmkeeper movement is in any direction rather than just away, when we combine these effects, we can throw them back using the Fury of the Tides, then swerve them back into the same spike growth area using our swarm. Assuming you can stand at the edge of your spike growth and swing, you'll be able to move your target for 25 feet through your spikes. Adding in favored foe and smite, you'll be doing an average of 52 damage, that's 2d8 plus 6 plus 2d8 plus 1d4 plus 10d4 every round. I mean, the knight with the spikes, it's very brutal. Kind of feels more like an Elden Ring boss than a thing a character would play. So I guess in that sense, maybe it does feel like a D&D character. Thank you guys so much for watching. I really appreciate it. Be sure to like and subscribe. We're putting out new content all the time. Go see what we're up to over on skullsplitterdice.com. And if you plan on making one of these multi-classes, I would really be curious why a Paladin Ranger speaks to you. And please let me know down in the comments. My name is Patrick Ferguson from Skullsplitter Dice. And until next time, farewell.